Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of Hemel Hempstead. It is good to be here again to preach the Word of God. We come and we bring the message of the Bible, that message of the Gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is what the Apostle Paul says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The question we may ask is, who is Jesus Christ? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the most important person that has ever lived. And I say this because he is very God. God, we're told in the Word of God, was manifest in the flesh. God came in the flesh. God took to himself a real human nature, a real human body. And he did so in order to save his people. I want to bring a verse of scripture today and to preach on that verse, something that the Lord Jesus said. He said these words, "What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" If I were to ask you, what would you choose? If I had a glass of water in my hand and in the other hand a fistful of the purest diamonds of the world, what would you choose? I think most people would choose the diamonds. Well, what if we were in a different place? What if we were in the middle of a desert and you were dying of thirst and your only hope was that glass of cold water, and then you would be promised life the day after? Well, of course, then the water is far more attractive than the diamonds, because the diamonds will do you no good in the desert. And so it is with the riches of this world. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of that living water that he gives to men. He is that living water. He is that one that gives eternal life. The Bible says life is in the Son. You see, my dear friends, we are by sinners, debtors to God. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save his people, and his people will hear and they will all respond to his word. He makes them willing in the day of his power. By nature, every man prefers the things of this world, the things that are temporal. What is temporal? Your body is temporal. Your house is temporal. Every possession that you have is temporal. These things are just for the here and the now. But the fact of the matter is, we are going to one day depart this life. And what after that? Well, you are not just a body, my friend. You have a never-dying soul. That's why the Lord Jesus said, "What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" We think so much about the body and the needs of the body, but the soul is immortal. The soul of a man lives on forever. What is a soul? It is the spirit of a man. It is that inner being where your conscience is, who you really are. You know, you really are a soul. It is living in that shell of a body that is temporary. And the soul, one day, shall stand before God, soul and body. The Lord Jesus said, marvel not, the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall come out of the graves. And the scriptures say the soul that sins shall die, that is, suffer a second death. And that death is not annihilation, my friends. As I said, if I were to give you two options, if I had a fistful of diamonds in one hand and a cold glass of water in the other, and I gave you that choice, most people would choose the diamonds, of course. But it depends where you are. If you were in the middle of the desert and you had just a few hours to live, you would choose the cold water. And therefore, my friends, in a far greater way, the Lord Jesus, who describes himself as the water of life, he said to the woman at the well, the water that I give, this water leads to eternal life. That woman was very dissatisfied with her life. She had had many husbands, and the man that she was now with was not her husband. But the Lord Jesus gives eternal life. Riches, the things of this life, they don't last. But we have never dying souls, and we cannot take all the things that we have with us in this life with us. They will perish with this world, but our souls either go to be with God or separated from God. But Christ gives eternal life. How does he give eternal life? Well, let me explain. By the life that he lived for his people. The word of God calls him a substitute. Now, we all know what a substitute is. For instance, a football player gets injured on the pitch and somebody goes in his place. And that is true for the Lord Jesus. He said, I give my life for my sheep. He has his sheep in this world. And his sheep are his people that have fallen short of God's glory. That's every one of us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He lived the life that no man has ever lived. And then at the end of his life, he said, I give my life for my sheep. He shed his precious blood for his people. You see, we must understand, dear friends, that God cannot be indifferent to sin. And so for the sin of his people, the scriptures say, the Bible says, he bore their iniquity. He suffered, knowing all the sin that his people would ever commit in this life. Peter, the apostle, said, he bare our sins in his own body. This is amazing, that God the Son should suffer and he should die in the place of his people. Are his people good? No, I have to say, as I look at my own life, friends, and I remind you once again, I don't come out to moralize the people of Hemel Hempstead. I do not claim for one millisecond that I am any better than you. I am a great and unworthy sinner, worthy of God's wrath. But God, in his great love, wherewith he loved all of his people, he laid down his life for his sheep. You know, the scriptures say he loved them even unto the end. And he is a very gracious Lord, worthy of all of our love, our adoration, and our worship. My dear friends, this is a tremendous thing, that God the Son should give his life. The scriptures say, as a ransom for many. Oh, when I look at my life and I see that I am an unworthy sinner, I am so thankful And this is why we come out, because we don't know who the Lord's people are. They will come. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they come, and I give them eternal life. You know, it's a wonderful, reassuring thing, my dear friends. It's a wonderful, reassuring thing that if you're a Christian, you know that if you were to die today, you would go to be with the Lord, no matter what you've done in your life. Well, you say, well, does a Christian, because he knows he's forgiven, can he do what he likes? No, my friends, the Bible says this. It is the love of Jesus Christ now that moves the heart of the Christian so that he loves his God. You see, what forgiveness does is it truly works thankfulness and love to God. The scriptures say we love him because he first loved us. You know, if you're a Christian, you love the Lord and you love his people and you want to spend time with them and you want to read his word. The word of God is so wonderful. If you study the Bible, you can read all about the Lord Jesus hundreds of years before he ever came into the world. There's so many wonderful prophecies. But not only that, the Bible gives us wisdom, tremendous wisdom for life. You know, it is full of wisdom, practical wisdom, spiritual wisdom, all kinds of wisdom. And more than that, the Lord, when he saves his people, he indwells in their hearts. And the Lord Jesus speaks of his Holy Spirit as being the comforter. God truly comes in a most marvelous and miraculous way and indwells the heart of all of his people, so that we can say with the Apostle Paul, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. See, this is not the religion of men, dear friends. Jesus Christ came from above. This is not something contrived in the heart of man, but was prophesied long, long, long ago that God would send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. My dear friend here is handing out tracts, and we'd love for you to take one. And we'd love for you to come along to the church. You know, we're a very simple, Bible-believing church. Nothing complex. You don't need to have a prior experience and knowledge of the Bible to come. We welcome sinners to hear the Word of God and to teach you the way of life. God is a very gracious God. He says of his people, come all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My dear friends, this world will not give you rest. People will let you down, but the Lord cannot lie. You know, we read this in the scriptures that grace was promised in Christ Jesus before the world began, and God cannot deny himself. He has promised to save his people, and again, his people are completely unworthy of his love. Yes, that's a wonderful rest for me, because if I ever think that there's something worthy in me to merit God's favor, well, I would be so dismayed and despondent, and I would be despairing, because there is everything in me, my dear friends, that I know that is not good. But God is good, and God is merciful, and he receives sinners. You know, you don't try to fix yourself up. It is God that changes the person. It is God that changes the life. It is he that gives new life. He gives that life, and he gives precious faith to believe upon him. Trust in his word. The world is in a mess, of course, because of man. You know, I often hear people say, well, if there is a God, why doesn't he do something about the world? Well, where would you like him to begin, my friends? With your lies, with your unkindness, with people's dishonesty, with murder, where would you like him to begin? Adultery? Well, friends, Christ came to save sinners in this life, and one day he's going to judge the world in righteousness. This is what the scriptures say. And everyone will stand before the Lord. And those who are the Lord's, they stand in his righteousness. They acknowledge they don't have a righteousness of their own. They are described as the poor in spirit, as the meek, as the humble. God has humbled them. And they don't put themselves over others. They say they're better off. They don't say they're better. Oh, dear friend, realize as you walk in these shops, many lovely shops around here, you're buying things that everything here is temporal. You can't take it with you. But Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and yet lose his soul? Your soul lives on forever. Your body, a very short time. You can't take it with you. But your soul lives on for eternity. Let me ask you, are you right with God today? The only way a man can be accepted before God is through the substitute, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom for many. He came to redeem them. You know, we have a pawn shop down the road here where people can go in, and if they're poor and they're struggling for money, take something into the shop and give it, and they get some money back. But if they want that item back, they've got to pay more for that item. And sometimes they can't do it. But you know, the Lord has his people that he has redeemed by his precious blood, and they will come and they will believe. He bought their redemption. He suffered in their place. Are you one of them? Those who are the Lord's. You know, he gives them a heart to see that this is a very empty world. That this is a world that cannot satisfy. The world cannot satisfy. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit of the man after all his labor under the sun? Solomon acquired such a mass, such a wealth, and he realized he couldn't take it with him. And he had a very unruly son, and that son really squandered everything after Solomon died. And he lost the kingdom. It's a terrible thing. But Solomon was brought again to realize that there are things under heaven as well. And heaven is eternal. And there is eternal life. It's good, says Solomon, that we have work and labor. But that's not the end. You know, people live as if they're going to live forever here on earth. Oh, but friends, let me speak in love and say that's a foolish notion. That's a very foolish thought. You're not going to live forever. And it may be far shorter than you ever think. I implore you today to seek the Lord. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his deeds, and God will have mercy. You know what he says in that passage? For my ways are not your ways. You know, often when we say we forgive somebody, it comes at a price. But God forgives his people at his own price. He gave his son. And the Apostle Paul said, if God spared not his son and delivered him up, how will he not also along with him freely give us all things? He gives his people eternal life. And you know what? A blessed life here in this life. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Do speak to a Christian. They're the happiest people on earth. And it's a very bad witness when they're not. If you're a Christian here today, I want to remind you of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. Live to his glory. Do as much as you can for the Lord. Time is short. Eternity is forever. And I would urge you, if you are a Christian and perhaps you've lapsed, go back to church. Go back to hear the word of God. There are false churches, of course. The Lord Jesus has warned about that. But there are true churches, and there are very faithful people. And you know, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, speaking of men. And if you're going to be stronger as a Christian, you need others. It's like a coal. You don't take it out of a fire, you keep it in the fire. And Christians are meant to be together and to hear the word of God and to be built up. You take that coal out of the fire, it will die. It won't last. Those are false Christians. But true Christians, the Bible says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and with God our Father, and with Jesus Christ, my dear friends, his Son. It's a wonderful thing to be reconciled to God. Now, if you're unsaved, I would urge you once again before I close, seek the Lord. Please do come along to our services this coming Lord's Day, Sunday. We meet on the corner of Lower Road and Red Lion Lane, just outside of Hemel Hempstead. And I can assure you'd receive a very warm welcome if you came along. I'm the pastor of the church, and I'd be so glad to see you. Please do come along. Do take a tract, read it. It contains scripture, or even better, please do come and take a gospel, a Bible. We'll be glad to give you one. Well, give your soul no rest, friend, until you seek the Lord with all your heart and find him to be a wonderful Savior. Thank you for listening. I bid you a good day. Time is short, though. Seek the Lord.